Good morning, Delaware. It's another Friday morning in December, just getting ready for the holiday season, and we are just raring to go, aren't we?
We certainly are.
Yeah. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, George.
And good morning, Gage. How are you doing?
Hey. Good morning.
Great. And our guest today is Beth McCollum, the Marketing and Communications Manager for Preservation Parks of Delaware County. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning.
It's great to have you here. We're going to be talking about a couple of events that are coming up in preservation parks during the winter. Remember, the parks are not just a summer place to be.
That's right.
So we're going to be talking about some great events that are coming up in the parks this winter. So what have you been doing with all of your free time because of the holidays coming? I'm sure you just have plenty of time to read and watch movies and all that sort of stuff. So what you been doing?
Well, okay, so first I'm going to give you, it's going to be a feel-good moment because a few weeks ago, maybe even last week, you talked about The Queen's Gambit on Netflix.
Yes, I did.
My husband and I just started that a couple nights ago, and we're on episode 2. We haven't totally binged it, but we finished the second episode. It's great. It's really enjoyable so far. Anyway, kudos to you for a good recommendation.
Well, thank you. But I do want to mention last week I wasn't here and you and Nicole and Amanda Sheedrum were on. I'm not buying a pony for that library.
Well, okay.
There's no pony for the library. Okay. I just want that really clear.
Okay. Then we're going to work on a library raccoon then. So,
isn't it enough that we're going to have a unicorn?
Oh, okay. I'm excited about that.
Let's keep it at that. We'll have more to talk about that next year.
We'll tease you on the unicorn. There you go. That's your tease.
So you started watching The Queen's Gambit.
It's great. I just wanted to give you a kudos to a good recommendation. But the one that I am excited about that I have been listening to is I've been listening to the Jason Reynolds book called Stamped. Anti-racism, and you. This is a really cool story. If you know anything about it, in 2016, Ibram X. Kendi wrote a book that was called Stamped from the Beginning, The Definitive History of Racist Ideas in America. And I mean, it's a pretty heavy book. It's a history book. It follows five historical figures, abolitionist William Lloyd Garrison, the activist Angela Davis. It talks about really unwashed versions of who some of these people in history were and the role that racist ideas played in their lives, whether they worked against them, for them, with them, unbeknownst to them, you know. And so Ibram X. Kendi, he's an author and he's a historian and he, you know, has a very great career in publishing and, you know, working at American University. And he wrote this book and it's really, really wonderful, but it is a history book. I mean, it's long and it's meaty and you have to give yourself over to it. is kind of the nice way to say it. However, you know, the more people talked about it, adults, they said, I wish I knew this stuff when I was younger. I wish I knew this when I was, you know, in college, in high school, maybe even younger than that, middle school. These are ideas that I feel like get glossed over when we open the actual history books. And so that began the relationship with, Kendi finding someone who could write this book for a younger audience. And of course, to Kendi, the first person who jumps to his mind is Jason Reynolds. Jason Reynolds is extremely accomplished. He is the national representative for young people's literature right now.
Right from the Library of Congress.
Yes. I mean, he's amazing. We've hosted him now. It's almost coming up on 2 years ago. Yep. He's a phenomenal individual. And so, of course, Kendi thought, you know, Jason Reynolds would be the person to do this. Reynolds said no. He said, I don't think so. I mean, basically, I'm pulling from an NPR interview that was published earlier this year and done earlier this year, and we'll link to it in our show notes. But, Jason said to the interviewer, I'm not a scholar. I don't really write history books. And somebody like Kendi has poured his life into writing a novel, writing a story like this. And he said, that's a little intimidating. You know, he's like, I write books that sound like my life, that young people can relate to, and I don't know if I can do this. But of course, as we know, the book was published in March of 2020, and so that meant that Kendi pushed back enough that it came to fruition. And so one of the cool things that I would say is I'm listening to this book. Jason Reynolds reads it. It's a 4.5-hour listen. It's very fast, very easy to listen to. I imagine reading the book is just as easy. And you're going to hear it in terminology that relates to young people and that they would say on a day-to-day basis. So, for example, you know, Kendi really talks about three different kinds of people in the realm of racism. You know, he talks about segregationists. Well, Reynolds says they're the haters. You know who a hater is. A hater is a hater. You know, it's a person who doesn't like you. They're terrible. And it's no different then as it was now. So segregationists are haters. Then they talk about assimilationists. And that's a word that Kendi uses. Those are what Jason calls the likers. They like you. You know, it's like the person who would say, I have a black friend. You know, like that's what you would call the likers. And so, you know, it's contingent. They like you, but it's contingent upon liking you. Mm-hmm. And then he talks about the difference between then an anti-racist. They're the lovers. They're the person who Jason would say are your ride or dies. You know, your people who are there. They're your people. They're not there for, you know, what you are. They're there for, you know, they love us for who you are and not for who they are and what you do for them.
Right.
And so he really does a great job at like establishing these definitions and then putting them throughout the book in a terminology and in a history way, in a historical way that you understand who he's talking about. One of the really great things that he mentions in this book is that people change, you know, and that people can be both. You're not either or, you're both and. Sometimes at the same exact time, sometimes over generations. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, you know, he talks about Thomas Jefferson. Right. And he says that Thomas Jefferson was one of the definitions of, I have black friends. Mm-hmm. Like he owned some of the most, he had some of the largest plantation. He owned the most slaves with a plantation of 200 slaves. But he prided himself on not being cruel, you know, and feeling like, no, they have jobs, they have work, they have this, they have that, you know, and I'm kind to them.
Everything except that one thing called freedom that he wanted everybody else to have.
Ownership. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, Jefferson, he kind of is both and at the same time. Later in his life, he even says, you know, the slaves really should be free. And then he gets to a point where he's like, but I also still need them to do the work. So how do we make this happen? You know, and that's where this book talks about it. I would highly recommend it. It's Jason Reynolds stamped. It's based on the Ibram X. Kendi stamped from the beginning and coming out in, I think, May of 2021. There's going to be a version even for younger readers.
Wow, that's great.
Coming soon.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, Beth, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but is there anything you've been reading or listening to or viewing that you'd like to share with the audience?
Well, I just finished The Queen's Gambit.
Oh, that's awesome.
Last night, in fact. So perfect timing for that.
Great.
And, yeah, I think I went through the highs and lows of it.
Right.
You know, yeah, so not to put you in suspense, Nicole, but... I went through a full range of emotions with this show.
Oh no, I'm not prepared.
Yeah.
I'm not emotionally prepared.
It's a great ride though. It's very worth taking.
Good.
Yes.
So good. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. So let me ask you, Beth, did you ever think you would care about a TV show about chess?
No,
me neither.
I've tried playing chess.
Yep.
And, I don't think I'm more of a checkers person.
Right.
Yeah. I'm more chutes and ladders in Candyland. Yeah. So
my husband and I both commented that we've never played chess on an actual board before, but we both had computer programs growing up that we played computerized chess.
I learned all the moves, but I could never figure the strategy.
No.
It just never.
No. I didn't know there was a strategy.
Yeah. And to think of all the different names of moves and the strategies and things was just shocking.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
So, well, great. Yeah, I think I have yet to meet anybody who started watching The Queen's Gambit that didn't get hooked.
Right.
So it's if you're going to watch it, plan on setting aside about 7 hours to watch the whole thing because you're going to want to. So I actually got a book for our anniversary. Joyce and I had our anniversary at the end of November, 28 years together.
Yay.
And her gift to me was a copy of David Sedaris's new book, The Best of Me.
Oh.
Now, I've been a fan of David Sedaris for a long time. If you don't know David Sedaris, he's a humorist, he's a comedian, he's a raconteur, he contributes to a lot on radio. He really came to prominence in 1992 when NPR broadcast an essay he'd written called Santa Land Diaries, where he talks about his experiences being an elf in Santa Land during Christmas season at Macy's and his misadventures during that time. Now, he's then went on to write many, many, many more books and essays. Most of it is tied to his life. He was born in New York State, but his family moved to Raleigh, North Carolina when he was very young. He was the second of six kids, and he talks a lot about his big extended Greek family. His one sister, Tiffany, passed away in 2013, and he's written a lot about her and about what that did to the family dynamic. His parents are... to read the books are kind of way out there.
And if you know Amy Sedaris and her comedy.
He and Amy have worked together on a number of plays and, in fact, won an Obie Award with one of them. And so his stuff is just, it's hysterically funny. But the best of me is his first shot at doing kind of a greatest hits. And he's in his 60s now. So, I mean, he's had a long career of writing. He's starting to publish his diaries. He published the first volume of his diaries, I believe it was last year, maybe the beginning of this year. And then he's also, he's got a second volume coming out next year. But some of this stuff is not what you might consider the best of me. But what he's showing is his development as a writer over the last 30 years. Santa Land Diaries, for example, is not in here. But there are a number of other essays that he wrote, some of them that are fairly controversial, some of them that are really personal, and some of them that you might not have imagined and that he would have thought of as one of his greatest hits, so to speak. But this book it's long. It's a big compilation, so you get a good flavor of what he's written. But I really think that he is one of the authors who is the best at reading his own material.
Yes.
And we have a lot of his material available to check out from the library, both on CD and on the downloadable formats. So if you've never been exposed to him, I would really strongly recommend that you try listening to his things on the audiobooks, because he has the most droll delivery. His timing is like... it's like Jack Benny's.
Yes.
It is less, he doesn't build up and build up and build up like some comedians do, but he'll tell a story and just the timing and the time it takes him to get to the point builds up the tension, and then he hits you with that punchline or that the finale of the story, and you die.
Which
it's
means that
so
his writing is so smart, and it takes a smart writer to set up a joke that way so that you don't need the other gags to perform it.
Exactly, right. Mm-hmm. And I've seen him twice in person, and he just gives an amazing concert. So if you ever get a chance to see him in person, he's played the Ohio or the Palace Theater here
a couple
of times.
I think I saw him at the Palace most recently.
So anyway, this one is called The Best of Me. All of his other books are available through the library, and some of the titles that are well known are Naked, which is another collection of essays. Me Talk Pretty One Day, which is about his attempts to learn French, and he's lived in France. He's lived in the UK. He's done Let's Explore Diabetes with Owls, which, I mean, it's just like he picked five words out of a dictionary to make the title of that book. So anyway, he's also written one children's book called I can't remember what it's called now. Anyway, but he's done an amazing number of things. Check him out, David Sedaris, and I'm sure you'll be well rewarded if you check out his audios. So we're going to take a break here, and then we are going to come back with Beth McCollum and talk about what's coming up at Preservation Parks this winter. So don't go away. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Off the Shelf. We are here today with our guest, Beth McCollum, the Marketing and Communications Manager for Preservation Parks. Good morning, Beth. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. We mentioned in the first half of the show that preservation parks are not just for spring and summer, that there are some great stuff, some great programs that you can get involved in during the winter. So we're going to talk about two of them here right now. One of them is a program that we've worked with you in the past, and that is the Letterbox program. Now,
Absolutely.
So talk a little bit about what this is and how it works.
Sure. So I know a lot of people were disappointed when we couldn't have our summer letterbox program this past summer.
Right.
So after some brainstorming, we came up with having the winter letterbox program. And of course, being 2020, we need to have it COVID safe. Mm-hmm. And so it looks a little bit different than our summer letterbox. We don't have the actual letterboxes hidden in the parks. We don't have some of the hands-on activities that participants have come to do. In their quest for that box, it is completely COVID safe. So participants can sign up at our website by going to preservationparks.com/programs, and they will find a link to the Winter Letterbox program there. They register, they will receive an automatic email response. And that email will contain a PDF booklet. And that PDF booklet, they could just, keep it on a phone or a tablet while they walk through the parks, or they can print that. And those will lead you on an adventure through 8 different parks.
So if you don't have the letterboxes, what do you have this year?
We actually have signs.
Okay.
So the... they are like a yard sign, mm-hmm. and each park has one word on it, on the sign. And that you put those words together at the end, and it'll be a Japanese proverb.
Oh, will it be clear how to put the words together? Like if you put it in a certain way, you might sound more like Yoda. And if you put it another way, it might sound more Anglican.
What are you doing, thou and thee? And,
I know, right?
Are we talking high church or low church here?
I think it'll be pretty clear. It's a seasonal message. And so it's nothing too philosophical, but we think people will be able to unscramble it pretty easily.
Oh, good. Thank goodness.
Okay, that's good.
my daughter in kindergarten had a word scramble sentence that she had to put together this week, and she got one of the words out of order, and it was "the deer jump high can," and I was like, "Oh, we got a little Yoda going on here."
So, but the point of this is not just necessarily to find the words, but it's to do a little learning, right?
Absolutely. Our letterbox searchers will be learning a bit about how animals survive in the wintertime.
Oh, that's great.
I hope there's something about how humans survive in the wintertime.
I know by not going everybody to the likes parks. Them.
Okay,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
absolutely. By going to the parks and dressing in layers. Mm-hmm. And
I think Molly started wearing her winter coat when the temperature got below 60. So.
So. Beth, you said that, obviously today's Friday the 18th. When can people start signing up? Can they start signing up today? And how long will they be able to sign up to get the booklet?
Sure. They could start to sign up today. And then the adventure starts tomorrow on Saturday. And they can register throughout the whole time if they want to try to get it at the end of February and try to get all 8 parks. In a couple days, go for it.
If there's one beautiful day, you can go hit them all, or maybe you might have to spread it out based on what Ohio is going to give you.
Absolutely.
I seem to remember you trying to hit all the parks one time at the end of the summer project with you and Wynn. And,
Yeah. I think our max on one day was 3.
Yep. Okay.
It's hard to do all 8.
Yeah. It's a big county.
Absolutely.
So, but now this is one program, but you've got another one that's more of a kind of a personal fitness program that's coming up this winter too.
We do. Yeah. This is a brand new program for us. It's called the Winter 100. Mm-hmm. And the idea behind the Winter 100 is to create an opportunity for people to get out and walk and hike or run, either in the parks or in their neighborhood. And it's just the idea of getting outside and taking a break from hibernating in our house all winter.
Yeah, there is that kind of tendency in this time of year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, we have a natural tendency to stay inside in the winter and couple that with, you know, our stay at home time. You know, this year we've become quite the homebodies, and this mm-hmm. challenges us to get outside and get fresh air, and how good just that simple action is for our mental health.
So what does the 100 refer to in Winter 100?
Sure. So we are challenging people to walk either 100 miles from January 1st through March 31st.
Okay.
Or 100 kilometers, which is about 62 miles.
Oh, so we have like a goal and then a stretch goal. If you could, you could yes. start with the kilometers and then you could go for the stretch goal and make it into miles. Yes. I like that. It's attainable. Yes. It sets the bar low and then gets higher.
And that's the point, you know, it's to help people with, you know, have different goals and just to get outside. And what I'm really excited about is we're creating a private Facebook group.
Oh, cool.
For participants, and that will allow our partners to share ideas to get outside for people. Participants can share their photos if they go out to a park, like on a day like today, and share beautiful snow pictures and encourage other people to get outside while, you know, and how pretty the winter can be.
Yeah. So,
as I was driving up 315 Thursday morning after the snow over Wednesday night, it was the most beautiful drive I've taken in Ohio in years. Mm-hmm. It was just gorgeous.
That perfect amount.
It was just the yeah. perfect amount. The road was clear, so I didn't feel unsafe driving. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of traffic. It was like 12 miles of perfection. Mm-hmm. It couldn't have been nicer. So anyway, you know, I know the library is participating in this. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get a group of staff people to do it. And even I have volunteered. Once I found I could do the kilometers instead of the miles, that seemed a little more attainable for somebody who's as lethargic as I am. Are you doing groups, like participating groups as well with this? Or was this just something we decided to do as the library?
Yeah, we actually have 15 partner organizations and agencies throughout the county, just a couple businesses, but some townships, some cities, some nonprofits have joined us. So they have their internal groups, and they're also helping us get the message out to external audiences as well.
Yeah.
So there's lots of different groups who will be participating. I'm looking forward to doing it too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think as a library, some of the things that we can do on that group page, on that Facebook page, is we can kind of, you know, say like, oh, maybe you need an audiobook for your walk today, or maybe you need some music to listen to for your walk today.
Mm-hmm.
And we can really supplement with some of that. Does this have a sign up as well, Beth, and a start and an end date?
It does. So you can register anytime now, and we ask, you know, start logging. Once you register, you'll also receive an automatic response email, and that will have a tracking page in there for you.
Oh, great.
So, and that's a fillable PDF. And so you just track your mileage or your kilometers on that page. And once you have that completed before March 31st, there's a contact email on that form. You just send that in. And we will reward you with an official Winter 100 decal.
Ooh.
Cool.
That's exciting.
Now I got something to work for, too. Cool.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And I think there are a lot of tools that will help people be able to accomplish this. I mean, there are free apps out there like Map My Walk, Map My Run, your pedometer, you know, if you have a phone that has a pedometer built in. So there's lots of ways to be successful with something like this.
That sounds great. So, well, thank you, Beth. We're looking forward to doing this. I'm hoping that in the end of March I get my sticker, and I will wear it proudly on my car when I go back
Wonderful.
To walk or driving instead of walking.
Right.
So we've got a couple of things coming up at the library before Christmas. We want to just touch on those. We have a new episode of Library Guys Go to the Movies podcast dropping on Wednesday.
That's right.
Run by Luke Powers, with a different staff member is going to be a part of that. We have a virtual story time with Miss Katie also dropping on Wednesday at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night trivia goes on again tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. And Do you happen to know what this week's is? I didn't check to see.
They always keep me in suspense until about Friday when I get the file. So I do not know. But I know that last week's was Christmas, and that was a lot of fun. I imagine this one will have some holiday feelings to it, too.
I'm sure it will. And we are still collecting the Thinking of You cards, which we'll be doing through the end of the month. They don't have to be holiday cards, any sort of a Thinking of You card. We've dropped off the first set of them, and they have been greatly appreciated by our homebound patrons. So if you get a chance, feel free to drop them off. You can put them in our return boxes. You can hand them in when you get your curbside service at the library. However you want to drop them off. They will be quarantined so that they have 4 days so that there's no chance of any virus passing. So we're following the same safety procedures we do with our books with those. So feel free to drop them off. We look forward to passing more of those on to the kids. So now our show next week will also be kind of a Christmassy theme since it's on Christmas Day.
That's right.
So we hope that you're having a wonderful week in the lead up to the holidays. Thank you for your support of the library at the holidays and throughout the year. Thank you, Nicole.
Always a pleasure.
Gage, always a pleasure having you on the board. Thank you so much. And we will see you in the parking lot.